From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news, WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Now at noon on WRAL, Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida is touring North Carolina today. We'll tell you where he is right now with Governor Cooper.
It's dry in the gardens right now, but we have another system that could bring us some rain this evening. I'll show you how to plan your Friday activities around it.
And in the last hour, the Durham police chief was speaking out following three separate shootings that happened within 2 hours. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Gusty winds are the weather story this afternoon. And this evening, we may see a round of showers and storms.
Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRAL patio with a look at the timeline as you kick off your weekend. Elizabeth.
We're going to start off with that satellite and radar view. Skies are clear. And of course, I'm standing here. You know, I'm not sure that you can see the sky in my shot, but it's partly cloudy. It's beautiful. It is windy. But winds are not the biggest story so far. We're going to end up seeing this system swinging around and bringing us a chance of some showers. We do have partly cloudy skies right now, and you can see that sun coming out, and there are a lot of clouds out there that are moving across the sun from time to time. You'll see that as you're watching. But from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we start to see those clouds thickening up. There's that cloud cover over the sun. By 5 and 6 o'clock, notice that we have some showers that start to move in across the area. A few isolated thunderstorms as well. That's going to last until about 8 or 8:30 across our area. So you may think that that system that brought us the rain yesterday is out of here, and technically it is, but another piece of energy rotates around, and that could impact your plans tonight. If you are headed home from work, headed to dinner tonight, out to an event, out to a movie, we may see rain right around dinner time tonight. Let's take a look at some of these winds. We're now gusting back to almost 35 miles per hour in the triangle. The gusts are in that white box on the right, and the steady winds are on the left. We're gusting to 31 up in South Hill, 21 down in Clinton, 28 in Fayetteville, and 28 in Rocky Mount and Wilson. So it's breezy out there. Winds will continue gusting 25 to 30 for the remainder of the afternoon. Our temperatures are feeling very pleasant. We'll see highs in the low 70s. But we have a huge warm up in our forecast for next week. I'll show you the big pattern change coming up.
And happening right now in the WRAL Life Center, Raleigh Police released some body cam video from a shooting that happened on February 10th. I want to play you some of this video here in the WRAL Life Center. You can see this video, if it'll play for me, right here. Here you go. The officers were responding to a call of shots fired on Rock Quarry Road. And this is the moment you see the officer tell the suspect, Rancis Vargas, to drop the gun before firing multiple shots. Take a listen.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun! Police! Drop the gun! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Drop it! Hands on your head! Hands on your head, man! Hands on your head! Raleigh, shots fired! Shots fired! Shots fired!
So you hear the officer there yelling, shots fired. I also want to mention the officer said to drop that gun 7 times and 3 times to put his hands on his head before he started firing. We have video here that shows a gun on the ground. But here's what we know from the 5-day report. Vargas shot and injured 2 women in an apparent domestic dispute before police got there. And the officer, ML Berg, fired 18 rounds of gunfire, striking Vargas and a pickup truck that had 2 people in them, in the truck. One of the people in that truck was struck by gunfire, but authorities did take everyone to an area hospital. They were all treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Vargas was charged with 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, and Berg was placed on administrative leave, which is department policy. Matt Tallhelm is working on this story. He will have more information coming up tonight at 4. Michelle, thanks. Windy conditions and scattered showers today, but at least the storms we had yesterday have moved out of the area.
But as Nick Perlin reports, there's still plenty of cleanup to do this weekend.
Crews have been working since around 8:30 trying to remove this massive tree behind me that fell over sometime early Friday morning. Take a look at this video. This is from about 5 a.m. Friday morning. You can see Raleigh police blocking off the street where that tree fell. As the morning progressed, neighbors walked by stunned to see this tree blocking the entire street. Workers are using chainsaws here to remove the branches and get all the debris off the road. In Raleigh, Nick Perlin, WRAL News.
Well, people in Wake Forest are cleaning up as well after yesterday's powerful wind gusts. The Northern Wake Fire Department posted this picture on Facebook of a large tree blocking Horseshoe Bend between Stallion Court and Derby Lane. The state DOT has been working to clear that area. In the western part of the state, the National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 tornado touched down in North Wilkesboro last night. This BP gas station was heavily damaged. Trees also fell on some houses in the area. There are no reports of any injuries.
The Prime Minister of Japan was in the Triad this morning to visit two major Japanese projects underway here. Fumio Kishida and the First Lady of Japan arrived last night at RDU. He joined Governor Roy Cooper this morning for a tour of the Toyota electric battery plant in Liberty. That's in Randolph County. And that's a $13.2 billion investment by Japan's largest automaker. They also toured the Honda Jet facility in Burlington. And their next stop is here in Raleigh for a celebration at the Executive Mansion. That's where WRO Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is standing by. And Laura, the leader of a foreign country visiting North Carolina, that's pretty unusual.
You know, that is very unusual. A visit from a sitting head of state is a pretty rare honor for North Carolina. The last time it happened was in 1962. That was the Shah of Iran. As the governor pointed out, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida could have gone to any state, but North Carolina is the only one that he's visiting, and economic ties are probably one of the reasons why. Japan has taken over Germany's place in the past few years to become the top foreign investor in North Carolina. There are 225 Japanese firms doing business here, according to the governor's office, and they currently employ 30,000 North Carolinians. That number will rise as major projects like the Toyota battery plant and the Fujifilm Diosynth facility come online, creating thousands more jobs in the next few years. Stephen Sumner leads the North Carolina Japan Center at NC State. He thinks Mr. Kishida is here because the state has piqued his interest.
My guess is that we've had such an unprecedented level of Japanese foreign direct investment in North Carolina over the last few years that he may just want to see what's going on in North Carolina that's so attractive.
And we're getting our first look here inside the governor's mansion today, where governor and prime minister will arrive soon for that state luncheon. While the Japanese delegation dines inside on food by Ashley Christensen, we're told the entree is going to be Wagyu beef with North Carolina shrimp. There's a garden party on the outside for about 50 members of the Japanese press that are traveling with the prime minister. They'll be eating barbecue. I believe it's going to be Eastern from the looks of the van, and listening to bluegrass music. A warm North Carolina welcome for the Japanese delegation.
Hope he enjoys his visit here. Laura Leslie outside the governor's mansion in Raleigh. Thank you.
Well, we're hearing from Durham's police chief today about three separate shootings in that city within a two-hour span. WRO's Monica Casey live in Durham this morning with what Chief Andrews had to say. Monica.
Yeah, Ken, the police chief just wrapped up her press conference about half an hour ago. She was visibly emotional and frustrated about this. A family is mourning the death of a 16-year-old boy who was killed on Truman Street. Police say he was shot in the chest and died at the hospital. Chief Andrews says when they responded to that shooting, officers saw a man with a handgun running from the scene who then got in a car. Police chased him but ultimately decided to end the chase because they deemed it unsafe. They have since found the vehicle, but not the man. We learned today the brother of that young man killed was also shot on Truman Street just a week ago. I asked the chief about her message to the people pulling the trigger.
We will send you to prison for the rest of your life. We have the means and the ability to do it. I don't care how old you are. We have federal partners that are committed to ending this violence in this city. And we will send you away.
Less than an hour after the first shooting yesterday, police received a call for a shooting at Fayetteville and Linwood. They didn't find anyone there, but three people later showed up at the hospital. All three had non-life-threatening injuries from gunshot wounds, and one of them was a minor. Around 6 last night, police responded to another sound of shots call near the American Tobacco campus. They found a man who had fled to the bus terminal there after being shot. He is expected to be okay. Police are looking for a black Honda Accord that was stolen out of Holly Springs in connection with that last shooting. Now, the police chief says right now there is no evidence to suggest these shootings are connected to each other, but she emphasizes all of these are still open and active cases. Ken?
Family grieving the loss of a 16-year-old. Monica Casey live outside the Durham Police Headquarters. Monica, thanks. An App State student from Durham is facing charges in connection with a stabbing on campus. Authorities arrested 20-year-old Emmett Caldwell on charges of assault with a deadly weapon. An App State student was taken to the hospital after the stabbing yesterday afternoon. University police believe another student or person was involved, but no additional charges have been filed. Police say there's no threat to the campus. We're reaching out to ask about the condition of the student who was stabbed.
The Biden administration says it's forgiving another round of student loan debt to the tune of $7.4 billion. This move will impact some 277,000 borrowers. It's part of a White House program to make it easier for specific groups of borrowers, like public sector workers, to qualify for loan forgiveness. The program also includes a repayment plan that creates a shorter pathway to loan forgiveness for many low-income borrowers. Republicans have sharply criticized the program. They argue the president is transferring the cost of student loan debt to taxpayers who chose not to go to college or who already paid for it themselves. Stocks are plummeting at this hour. You can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 300 points. That's because investors are very worried about the possibility of an attack on Israel by Iran. And that threat is sending these numbers into the red territory. S&P 500 down 50 points. NASDAQ also a triple-digit decline, down 190 points.
A lot to get to here in the noon hour. Oakland, California, reeling from rampant crime wave.
The latest brazen robbery targeted a well-known jewelry store in the city. Just ahead, more of the surveillance video that shows just how fast and frightening it was.
Also ahead, a warning in Wake County for pet owners who can't find their furry friend, how they could quickly become victims of a costly scam.
And why it could soon be faster, cheaper, and easier to fix your iPhone if something goes wrong.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
One of Oakland, California's oldest jewelry stores is picking up the pieces after a brazen armed robbery. Dion Lim reports it is the worst robbery the family-owned business has experienced in more than 40 years of being in business.
The chaos and terror that unfolded at Fung Jewelry in Oakland's Chinatown Wednesday just after noon.
It happened so fast.
Is unlike anything the family-owned business has ever experienced in their more than 40 years in operation.
We've been robbed, you know, a few times before, but not at this level of brazen magnitude. Eight individuals with, you know, two getaway cars and, you know, guns drawn.
Watch as Tony Trin's 69-year-old mother Diane ducks for cover and screams for help as those eight individuals smash nearly every single case. With no security guard on duty at the time, her 76-year-old husband comes storming in, wielding a firearm, which scares the suspects away.
If he didn't do that, then they would have just kept going.
Their American dream and the majority of the store,
at least like 85%, 90%,
gone in less than a minute.
My mom was, you know, devastated. My dad was broken.
A devastating blow made worse after the family let their business insurance lapse due to rising premiums.
Her entire life's work, savings, gone in a few minutes. But it is rough. You know, my mom is the leader of the pack, and she's been running the business. As she suffers, I kind of suffer through the same pain.
Crime in the area is what prompted Tony to become executive director of the Oakland Chinatown Improvement Council. Despite what happened, he remains optimistic.
I've seen tremendous progress, even though it doesn't feel like that. In terms of cleaning and safety ambassadors, there's a lot more out there with the night patrols, and we have our walking police officers. During the pandemic, we didn't.
But is he optimistic enough to stay in business?
We'd love to. It's just with the environment and how tough it's been. We don't know yet.
Oh, just horrible. Hopefully the community can rally around them. That was Dion Lim reporting. The Oakland Chinatown Improvement Council has started a GoFundMe to help recoup that massive loss.
Well, a number of people in West Virginia needed to be rescued after their cars became trapped in floodwaters. This is video from near the state capital, Charleston. 911 dispatchers say there were several rescues like this throughout the area Thursday night. The area was under flash flood threat last night, and that area expecting even more rain today. Like, they can't use that much rain. It's just tough. My goodness.
We will have a dry afternoon for the most part. It could be cloudy and maybe see a little sun, too. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner on the WRL weather patio. Ooh, I see you have full sun out there right now.
I do, and I have one of my favorite toys. This is my anemometer. It shows me how fast the wind is blowing. And we're right up against the building. It's kind of hard to tell because, of course, you can see the gardens behind me. The trees behind me are making so much noise in the wind. I mean, they are really moving around. But all I'm getting is about 2 miles an hour with my anemometer. But the wind is definitely gusting more than that. We take a live look at North Hills right now, and you can see that mix of sun and clouds. The clouds are starting to build a little bit, and eventually that's going to help to bring us a chance for some scattered showers and thunderstorms right up at the time of the evening commute through dinner time. Our wind is southwest steady at 22. We've been gusting up to 30, even 35 this afternoon. 69 is our temperature, and we'll climb into the low 70s this afternoon. It feels really great out here right now. I mean, in the sun or not in the sun, it's just lovely out. Currently, we're gusting to 34 in the triangle. The gusts are in the white box on the right, and the steady wind is in that blue box on the left. So we're gusting right now to 28 in Fayetteville, 25 in Clinton, 28 in Rocky Mount and Wilson, and 25 in Roxboro. So pretty consistently 25 to 35 mile per hour gusts. And we're going to see that for the remainder of the afternoon. Winds will start to settle down a little bit more tonight, and then into the day tomorrow, it is not likely to be nearly as windy. The strongest winds that we've seen so far this morning have been 35, 38 mile per hour winds. And that's nothing compared to what we saw yesterday. Yesterday, when we saw those trees down, our winds were gusting 40 to 50, 55 miles per hour. And this afternoon, we're looking at 30, maybe 35. We've hit 34 mile per hour winds already. Checking satellite and radar, everything looks nice and quiet. We did have a number of trees down across our area. And of course, yesterday evening, there were some tornado warnings that were back across parts of the Piedmont. And in Wilkesboro, we did have a confirmed tornado. That was the only confirmed tornado in North Carolina. Let's check satellite and radar here on Futurecast. And you can see as we are getting closer to lunchtime, more of the clouds starting to fill in. We're going to see a disturbance swinging by that's going to bring us that potential for some isolated showers and maybe even a thunderstorm. That starts right about 5 o'clock and moves on through by around 8. Of course, that means folks headed home from work. It means headed out for dinner or whatever your plans are this evening. It may be a little wet on and off with those showers. The rest of the weekend is looking lovely. We're going to see plenty of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday. Our temperatures right now ranging from the mid 60s to low 70s, so it's very pleasant out. Looking at 71 in Raleigh this afternoon, 69 in Durham, and 74 degrees in Fayetteville. So good looking afternoon. Take a look at what happens next week. 72 is our normal high. We're going to hit the 80s starting Sunday, and it's mid and upper 80s for most of next week. 90 degrees on Thursday. That's still not going to be a record. The record 95 for Thursday. But if we hit 90, it'll be the first time that we've hit 90 this year. 86 is our warmest temperature so far this year, and we saw that on April the 2nd. The Courage play the Portland Thorns on Saturday. We're going to air that right here on WREL. If you're at the game, we'll see clear skies and temperatures in the 60s. Looks lovely. Again, a very warm period, and we may see a few sprinkles. Watch for a chance of rain potentially Tuesday and Wednesday. When we come back in just a little while, we're going to talk more about our potential for rain and storms this evening.
Elizabeth, we can tell how windy it is by your hair. You're looking very glamorous right now with the windblown effect. Elizabeth, thanks. In about 30 minutes, Cumberland County will share next steps to meet new EPA standards for clean drinking water. The county plans to do more, particularly in the Grays Creek community. Ahead on our news at 4, how they will improve the water quality and how this factors into the new nationwide rules.
Then a Duke University study looked into the effects of drinking alcohol during the pandemic. And WRL News at 6, why women were more likely to have developed liver disease. Our news continues this noon hour. Apple announcing a long-awaited reversal will tell you when you may be able to pay less to repair your iPhone. No genius bar needed.
Also ahead, why Ford is slashing the price of its fully electric F-150 by thousands of dollars.
Welcome back. Look at how windy it is in Wilson. The whirligigs are going. Cloudy skies and a chance for showers and storms later tonight. A set of speakers is being recalled because they can overheat and melt. These Yodo mini portable speakers were marketed to kids ages 3 to 12. The speaker's lithium-ion battery can overheat and catch fire. There have been 6 reports of this happening. The manufacturer will send customers a free smart charging cable that should fix the problem. Uber now has more safety features to help better protect women passengers. There's a PIN verification giving you the option to get a 4-digit code to make sure that you're getting in the right car. A ride check feature also lets you know if a driver goes off course, stops unexpectedly, or ends a trip early. An audio recording feature can record your trip and secure the audio right on your phone.
This fall, Apple will make it easier for owners of select iPhone models to repair their phones. They can use used genuine parts for repairs. Currently, Apple requires a process called parts pairing for repairs. This means matching serial numbers of an iPhone and new parts sold by Apple. If you replace something with a used part, you get a notification saying Apple can't verify the part, and in some cases, it won't work at all. The new changes will initially apply to iPhone displays, batteries, and cameras. Ford is cutting the price of the F-150 Lightning pickup truck by as much as $5,500. These discounts come as inventories of electric vehicles have soared industry-wide by 200% so far this year. Both the F-150 Lightning and Ford's electric Mustang Mach-E are now selling for the lowest prices since they launched. Ford has also been rethinking its strategy. Consumers haven't really fully embraced EVs, citing high prices and lack of charging stations.
The IRS says the average tax refund is larger this year compared to last year. As of late March, refunds are averaging $3,050, almost 5% higher than a year ago. Some of the increases may be due to changes the IRS made to adjust for inflation. The standard deduction was increased, and tax brackets were also adjusted to account for inflation. In all, the IRS says it has received just over 90 million tax returns and refunded more than $185 billion to taxpayers. An exciting weekend for local soccer fans. Tomorrow, the North Carolina Courage take on the Portland Thorns in their return to Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. You can watch it tomorrow night at 7 live here on WREL. A warning for Wake County pet owners, especially if their cat or dog is currently missing.
Yeah, they could be the target of a devious scam. It could cost them hundreds of dollars and they still won't have their furry friend back. We'll tell you what the red flags are that someone is trying to dupe you.
Also ahead, new concerns about a highly contagious disease that the CDC thought we'd defeated 2 decades ago.
And heading to break, your winning North Carolina education lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
If you've lost a pet, you could be a target of scammers.
Yeah, Brian Schrader joins us now to explain how the scam works and how you can avoid falling for it. Brian.
You know, I lost Vivian one time for about 15 minutes, and that was about the longest 15 minutes of my life. And now there's a scam targeting pet owners when they are at their most vulnerable, when their pets are missing. Here's how it works. The scammers target people who post on social media about their missing pets. They find their phone numbers and then call them after normal business hours, pretending to be an employee of the Wake County Animal Center. The scammer manipulates the caller ID to make it appear as though that call is coming directly from the center, and they claim that the center has their pet, but says the pet needs emergency surgery. The scammer then requests money to perform the surgery. We know at least one cat owner has fallen victim to this scam, and the director of Wake County Animal Services says that she is taking this personally.
Just taking advantage of people who are at their most vulnerable because they are desperate to find their pets and using this against them, so and creating distrust.
Now, Dr. Federico says the Wake County Animal Center will call owners of pets who are brought to the center that have a microchip during regular business hours, but they will never ask for electronic payment. If you get one of those scam calls, get in touch with police and let them know.
You know, you're losing your mind. You've lost your pet. You're not even thinking straight, so it's completely understandable. Yeah. But some great advice there, Brian. Thanks.
And happening right now in the WRUL Live Center, a sad update to a story we've been following all day. A police officer in Memphis, Tennessee, and a suspect both have died after a shooting that happened earlier this morning. This was the scene around 2 o'clock this morning. Police identified the officer killed as Joseph McKinney. So here's what we know. Police approached a suspicious car around 2 o'clock this morning. That's when the suspects inside that car began firing. The officers returning fire. Both suspects, 17 and 18 years old, were detained and taken to the hospital in critical condition. The 18-year-old died from his injuries. A second officer was in non-critical condition at the hospital and is doing well. A third officer was grazed by a bullet and treated on scene. But this shooting remains under investigation today.
An inmate is dead after an apparent fight at Raleigh Central Prison. The Department of Adult Corrections says 38-year-old Dustin Payne died at the prison last night. Staff say it appears he was assaulted by another inmate in the common area of a housing unit. Payne was serving multiple sentences out of Buncombe County. State Capitol Police are investigating.
A man is in jail charged with impersonating a police officer. 35-year-old Demetrius Morrison was arrested by NC State Police after showing a fake badge to an officer. Police say Morrison also had several other police items on him, including handcuffs, crime scene tape, radios, and a concealed weapon. He's in jail without bond, and that's because of a previous gun charge. A ruling on a lawsuit over false voter fraud allegations from 2016 is expected later this year. The North Carolina Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday. Former Governor Pat McCrory's campaign accused dozens of voters of fraud, allegations that were thrown out as baseless. Since then, the voters who were wrongly accused have been trying to sue for defamation. The political operatives argue they should be immune from lawsuits, saying people with legitimate accusations of voter fraud could be intimidated into staying silent.
Durham Public Schools employees who are dealing with pay issues will get a chance to see exactly how the newly proposed budget will affect their paychecks. Interim Superintendent Caddy Moore says district officials will give the classified employees an individual breakdown of at the meeting next month. Moore is asking for a 12% budget increase. It includes $8 million to fully fund salaries for the system's 1,800 classified staff. Now, over the past few months, there have been numerous changes to classified workers' salaries.
We're getting a look inside Johnston County's new $40 million jail. WRL got an exclusive tour of the facility. This new 118,000 square foot jail replaces one that was a third its size. More than 200 inmates were in cramped spaces in the old jail, many of them sleeping on the floor. This new jail can hold nearly 500 inmates within six separate wings. It also has state-of-the-art contraband detection systems, a ministry room, medical and mental health wings. A Durham firefighter says he cannot believe he survived after a roof collapse onto him and another firefighter. Donald Dixon's helmet and gear were charred by the time they finally escaped the house. His crew got a call that people were stuck in a house in Durham. They didn't find the people they were trying to save and got caught inside the home themselves. He says it's an experience he never could have prepared for.
Just something that Jim Valvano said, don't give up, don't ever give up. And I thought about that afterwards, not during, but afterwards. And I said, that's what I did. I didn't give up. If I'd have given up, I wouldn't be here.
Dixon says he was dragged out of the house and taken to the UNC burn unit. The victims he went in to save were able to escape before the roof collapse.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Halifax, Orange, and Chatham counties. The Halifax State Historic Site is hosting the official kickoff of North Carolina's America's 250 commemoration. The 3 days of celebrations get started today with Halifax Resolves Day. That was the first official action by a colony to recommend independence from Great Britain. Festivities are underway, and there's a ceremony this afternoon at 2. Join the Friends of Chapel Hill Public Library for its big book sale this weekend. Tomorrow is for Friends members, but memberships are available that day. Tomorrow and Sunday sales are open to the public with an extensive inventory of gently used fiction and nonfiction books for children and adults, with prices starting at just $1. A special book sale at the Chatham Community Library runs through tomorrow. It's happening in the Holmes Family Meeting Room. In addition to buying books, you can also purchase CDs, DVDs, and audiobooks. The sale is underway right now.
Pharmacists say they and their customers are dealing with a severe drug shortage right now. We're talking about hundreds of different prescriptions. Coming up, why so many drugs are just not available right now. Also ahead, why a number of major U.S. airlines are asking the Biden administration to block flights to and from China.
A pharmacists group says hundreds of prescription drugs are in short supply all across the U.S. The group says there are 323 active drug shortages. That's the highest number of shortages since the organization started tracking the data back in 2001. Some of the products in short supply are OxyContin, pain and sedation medications, along with ADHD drugs. Manufacturers cited supply and demand, business decisions and raw materials issues as a few reasons for the shortages.
One of the world's most contagious diseases is surging across the country. Measles cases for this year are nearly twice the total for all of 2023. And we aren't even at the halfway point of the year. The CDC says more than 100 cases have popped up in at least 17 states as of April 5th. Symptoms can take 1 to 2 weeks to appear after someone gets measles. Those can include a dangerously high fever, cough, red rash, and more. It poses some of the highest risks for children who are not vaccinated.
For every 1,000 children that get measles, one will die and one will be brain damaged.
Health experts say when people get the measles, they transfer it to 12 to 18 people. The CDC strongly recommends those eligible for the measles, mumps, and rubella shot to get it. Two doses can be 97% effective in preventing the disease.
A new report from the CDC says there is no link between COVID vaccines and cardiac deaths among young people. Researchers looked at nearly 1,300 death certificates from people between the ages of 16 and 30 who died in 2021 and 2022. Researchers found out of more than 100 deaths where a cardiac event wasn't ruled out, 40 of those people had gotten a COVID vaccine. Only 3 died within 100 days of vaccination. No death certificates listed vaccination as a contributing cause of death. Airlines in the U.S. are not happy with China right now.
Just ahead, why they're asking the Biden administration to start blocking flights to and from that country.
And speaking of airlines, one low-cost carrier is celebrating a major milestone at Ardy International. What that is and why it could mean even cheaper flights for you.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Dallas, Texas, a school shooting there. Police are saying that one student was hurt after a shooting at a high school. This is a live look at the scene right now. This is Wilmer Hutchins High School in Dallas, Texas. According to police, it happened around 10:30 this morning. Police say one student was hurt during the shooting. A student was transported to the hospital in unknown condition. No other injuries have been confirmed at this time. And the school district did say all of the students and team members there are safe. But again, one student transported to the hospital after a shooting at a high school in Dallas, Texas.
Avelo Airlines says it's reached a major milestone, flying about 250,000 customers at Ardy International. The discount airline came to the Triangle in the region in 2022. Now, to celebrate, Avelo offers travel-inspiring one-way fares as low as $69 from RDU. You can find this commemorative fare at AveloAir.com. Avelo serves 6 nonstop destinations from Ardy International. These include New Haven in Connecticut, Manchester in New Hampshire, Boston, Albany, Rochester, and Fort Myers and West Palm Beach in Florida. Avelo's newest route to Albany, New York begins May 10th. Many U.S. airlines are asking the Biden administration to block additional flights to and from China. The airline says the Chinese aviation market is going unchecked. They say Beijing's current aviation policies are creating a competitive disadvantage for the 350,000 U.S. airline workers that serve China. U.S. carriers stopped using Russian airspace after Moscow's invasion of Ukraine in early 2022. Having to avoid Russian airspace adds time and cost to U.S. flights, making them less competitive in the aviation market.
The federal government says many of its agencies could be at risk of hackers from Russia's government. The U.S. government says the hacking group stole Microsoft corporate emails, passwords, and other secret material in January. This week, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency required a number of agencies to change any logins that were taken. The CISA says the hacking, quote, presents a grave and unacceptable risk to agencies. The group responsible is believed to be behind the hacking of Democratic National Committee computers during the 2016 presidential campaign.
A small but growing number of Fed officials and economists say it's possible interest rate hikes could be coming. Fed Governor Michael Bowman says an increase could be necessary if inflation progress reverses. And the Minneapolis Fed president says a hike isn't off the table. Those are minority Fed views, but the new Consumer Price Index report shows inflation accelerating. That has former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers floating the idea of a rate increase. Well, we're having an increase in our temperatures in a few days.
Oh, yeah. Today's temperature will be pleasant, but then we really skyrocket from here. Right now, the winds are the big story. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is out there on the WRL weather patio, and your hair's blowing all around, Elizabeth.
It really is. So we tried the anemometer, but it's funny. I mean, my hair is blowing around a good bit, but I mean, you get another, like, 20 or 30 feet up in the atmosphere from where I'm standing, and the winds are really whipping around. You can hear the trees, you can see them really moving around. And when we take a look at some of the actual numbers from the observation sites around the area, we're gusting 30 to 35. I mean, you can take a look here at the gardens. You can see that tree, that sort of light green tree there in the foreground. I mean, you can see it moving around like crazy. But when we take a look at the instruments that are just, you can't see them, they're just right off screen. We've got another anemometer there, and you read it, and it's showing like 5 miles an hour just right here. So I promise you, if I were up on a pedestal a little higher, I'd probably be holding on like this. It is just really, really super gusty out right now. We're gusting officially at RDU to 34 miles per hour. The gusts are in that white box on the right, and the steady winds are on the left. Our winds are coming out of the west today, and eventually they're going to shift to southwesterly. That's going to really bring some warm temperatures to us by Sunday. We're steady at 16 in Southern Pines. We're gusting to 25 in Clinton, gusting to 28 up in Rocky Mount, and 29 up in South Hill. So it's a windy afternoon, but nothing like we saw yesterday. You know, we had a number of trees down from the Triangle area southward. Of course, we did have that tornado officially in Wilkesboro, which is back across the Piedmont. What we're looking at the rest of the afternoon is gusts 25 to 30. When we had the trees coming down, we were seeing winds at 40 to 50 plus miles per hour. So nothing like that. There could be a few minor power outages. I did pull this up, and you can see down in Fayetteville, it's showing up as green. And so that's about 10,000 customers without power. Durham just showed up on the map as well, just with a few hundred customers without power. And things are a little worse back across the Triad. That's where they saw more of those stronger storms yesterday evening. Speaking of evening, this evening, we're going to have the potential for a few isolated showers. You can see some of that developing in the mountains. And that brown hatched line, that's going to act like a cold front to swing through here later on this evening. So we'll pause it at 4 o'clock and then move it ahead to 6 o'clock. We start to see some of those showers. They may be more concentrated in our southern counties, but there could be a rumble of thunder. We're going to continue to have some gusty winds with this, and then it moves on out by around 8:30 or so. If you're from the Triangle area northward, you may be fine if you're headed out to dinner tonight. In any case, I would probably forego the outdoor table tonight just because it's going to be so windy, even if it doesn't rain on you. 71 for the high this afternoon. And then tomorrow, 72, and then 82 on Sunday. That begins our big warm-up. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, a little breezy, but not as windy as today. And we'll see temperatures in Apex at the Peak City Pig Fest, which is a big deal for Apex. Again, those highs will be in the low 70s. Should be beautiful. We're going to jump into the mid to upper 80s starting Monday through Thursday. And yep, we have a 90 degree day in the forecast. If we hit that 90 Thursday, it'll be our first 90 degree day of the year, but it's still not even a record. The record Thursday is 95.
How about that? Say that? Elizabeth, thank you. An ancient city reveals new surprises.
Just ahead, what archaeologists have uncovered in Pompeii after nearly 2,000 years.
Welcome back. Here's a live look at White Lake. Look at those gorgeous puffy clouds, but it is breezy out there. You can see the ripple of waves there on the water. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
The Prime Minister of Japan is in North Carolina for a historic visit. Fumio Kishida joined Governor Roy Cooper this morning for a tour of the Toyota electric battery plant in Liberty. That's in Randolph County. They also toured the Honda Jet facility in Burlington. Governor Cooper is now hosting Prime Minister Kishida and his wife at the Executive Mansion before a dinner honoring his visit.
A man will spend at least 23 years in prison for the 2021 death of Knightdale police officer Ryan Hayworth. Dedrick Privet was sentenced this morning after pleading guilty to several charges, including second-degree murder and driving while impaired. Officer Ryan Hayworth was at the scene of a crash on 540 when he was hit and killed by Privet.
Police at Apex are looking for this person caught on camera smashing more than a dozen windshields. The vandalism happened on Wednesday around 9:45 at night in the parking lot of Apex Public Works Operations on Upchurch Street. 14 ton-owned vehicles were smashed. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Apex Police Department.
The University of Mount Olive is helping you get your garden ready this spring. The annual spring flower sale kicked off this morning. It goes until 5 p.m. You can pick up flowers, vegetable plants, ferns, and mixed pots. If you can't make it today, they'll be open again tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. It's located on Burt Martin Road in Mount Olive.
Archaeologists have uncovered stunning frescoes of mythological characters at the archaeological site of Pompeii in southern Italy. They found a banquet hall with walls painted black, decorated with characters associated with the Trojan War. The dining room is about 49 feet long and 20 feet wide. The ancient city of Pompeii was buried under ash and volcanic glass during the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD. And since the 1700s, archaeologists have been unearthing the city that's been frozen in time. Well, today is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. Nobody knows exactly when this comfort food was invented, but cooked bread and cheese have been around since ancient times. The version you know and love came about in the 1920s when sliced bread and cheese became readily available. Back then, it was usually served as an open-faced sandwich, but there's no wrong way to make grilled cheese, and that's part of why they've stayed so popular.
Love it when the cheese is extra gooey and you take a bite into it and it just stretches out there. Time for our pet of the day. This is Hurley. Hurley is a 3-year-old neutered male short hair cat. He's a curious but slightly nervous cat who would benefit from the safety and stability of being in a calm home.
And you should know Hurley does not care for dogs, but he might enjoy having a cat friend in the home. Hurley's adoption fee is $45, which includes his neuter, microchip, vaccines, and more. For more information, visit SPCAWake.org.
Cumberland County shares next steps to meet new EPA standards for clean drinking water, particularly in the Grays Creek community. Ahead on our news at 4, how they will improve the water quality and how this factors into the new nationwide rules. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.